All right. Well, welcome back to our final week of the Your Story series. I've enjoyed it. I hope that you have as well. The truths and the principles that we've been applying as we've looked at different scenarios in the Your Story movie. But then we make application spiritually and understand what God might be wanting to say to us through that. In our first sermon of the series, we really emphasized friendship and the importance of friendship, and we saw the camaraderie and the friendship that all the toys had together with one another. But the most important lesson that we learned from that is the fact that Jesus wants to be our friend. He says, I no longer call you servants. I call you friend. I mean, that's an amazing thing when you think about the God of all of heaven saying, I want to be your friend. The second week, we talked about the fact that we're all broken, but we're valuable. You remember that Woody had the torn arm, and he got shelled for a little while, but there was value in him. He discovered because of who owned him, that he belonged to Andy, and that gave him value. And we began to realize that, yes, like Woody, all of us have had those broken places in our lives. None of us have lived the perfect life, and some of us still got lots of broken stuff going on. But despite the brokenness in us, God loves us, and he establishes value in us. We don't establish our own value. He gives us value, and it's not because we got somebody's name written on the bottom of our boot, but it's because we've got the name of Jesus written in his blood on the door of our heart. Aren't you glad we do? Amen. Last week, we took a look at the little penguin who had lost his squeaker, remember? And we talked about the importance of getting our voice back, that every one of us has a story to tell. But one of the biggest things that the enemy does against us is he will try to stop us from talking to other people about Jesus. And so we talked about just the importance of sharing your story, and that we all have a story. It's the before I met Christ, when I met Christ, and now since I met Christ. And you saw a beautiful depiction of that in Joyce's testimony that she shared with us by video earlier today. And I'm telling you, when I saw her face light up, did you see that? Her face light up when it was, now what difference does Christ make in your life? I mean, she didn't even have to say a word. All you had to do was just see the big smile on her face, and you knew that Christ made all the difference for her. Well, this morning I want to tell you that the only reason that you have your story is because of his story. The only thing that makes your story worth listening to is because of that moment where your story intersected with his story at the foot of the cross. There's an old hymn. Some of you in the room still know some of the old hymns. It says, tell me the story of Jesus and write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, the sweetest that ever was heard. I want to tell you this morning about his story, the story of Jesus. In the final movie of Toy Story, there were four of them. In the final movie, we're introduced to a character by the name of Forky. You remember Forky? If you watched the movie, he should have probably been called Sporky because he was made out of a spork. With the crazy Google eyes and the pipe cleaner, red pipe cleaner to turn, make him some hands, took some broken sticks, the popsicle sticks, and made feet out of them. And this little girl Bonnie at the Sunnyside daycare puts Forky together out of this junk that she's accumulated, but she falls in love with him. And through the magic of movies, Forky becomes alive like all of the other toys, except he doesn't really recognize who he is. He doesn't realize that he is a toy. He doesn't understand the fact that Bonnie actually loves him. He just still sees himself as nothing more than a spork. In fact, at one point in the movie, he says, I'm good for nothing but to eat a bowl of chili with and then throw me in the trash can. And the whole movie is all about Woody trying to save Forky from his own demise. It's Woody trying to rescue Forky because he's trying to, every chance he sees to go to a trash can, he heads off to the trash can because he thinks that that's where he belongs. In fact, why don't you just take a look at the clip? I think it'll explain it better than I can. By no means am I suggesting that Toy Story is a Christian movie. I mean, it's not. I've watched all four of the episodes now, and there's no mention of God or Jesus or the cross or salvation. I suspect it was just written just for entertainment purposes. But it's uncanny when you begin to look at some of the scenes, when you begin to look at some of the themes that are interwoven into the movie, just how much of a spiritual parallel we can draw. For instance, I was telling you how that Forky was made by Bonnie out of really just trash, out of a bunch of insignificant stuff that she put together, and then he becomes her favorite toy of all of the other toys that she has. This most least likely to succeed character becomes her favorite. And when I thought about that, I was like, you know, isn't that a real picture of how God created all of us, that God created man? Remember how he made us out of insignificant stuff? He made us out of the dust of the earth. That's pretty insignificant, right? But then he breathes in us and we become alive. And of all of the rest of God's creation, all of the animals that he's made, all of the, everything else, there's something about this man made out of insignificant stuff that God loves and wants a relationship with. It's pretty phenomenal when you think about that, isn't it? When you look at Forky and you see his demise or his attempt to his own demise, he has this lack of an understanding of who he is. He doesn't really see the importance. He can't grasp the fact that somebody that created him could love him when he looks and sees what he thinks that he's worth. And so he keeps making this return trip back to the trash can. You know, and when you look at that, it's just really obvious how that's a picture of so many of us. That's where you were in your life at some point. Maybe you're still there, where you just keep going back to the trash can, where you just keep going back to the old ways, trying to find happiness, trying to find joy, trying to find meaning, trying to find purpose, hoping that life is really going to, you know, finally become what you want it to be, but you're going to the wrong stuff. You're going back to the trash. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible that talks about a dog that returns to his vomit. Now, I know that's not a very pretty picture, but that's a picture of the way a lot of us are, apart from God, apart from Jesus, apart from his salvation, just keeping going back. And I don't know, you could apply that in a number of different ways. Maybe when you look at that, and of course there's Woody who keeps rescuing Forky. Maybe you identify like Forky. Maybe you're the one whose life is a mess and you just keep going back to the old mess and throwing your life away if it wasn't for somebody who keeps loving on you and saying, no, I'm not giving up on you. Are you glad? Somebody in this place glad you had somebody that didn't give up on you? Amen. Amen. Somebody that kept loving on you even when you kept going back to the trash, you know, and they just said, that's why we say, keep coming back, right? Yeah. Or maybe you identify more as the Woody character who's got friends who keep going in the wrong direction and you just keep reaching out, loving on them. You know, you haven't given up yet. Just, I'm bringing you back. I keep bringing you back. Keep bringing you back to your maker, to the one who really loves you. You know, that's really the story of Spirit Life Church, it is, when you think about it. I mean, when you look at the ministries that we have, and whether it's talking about Celebrate Recovery and the way that we really try to help people in the broken places in their life who really haven't understood their value to realize God loves you, He created you, you've got purpose, and if you'll just identify with Him, connect with Him, your life can change and be turned around. Anybody here that's happened to you? Yeah. Or whether it's through the Living in Victory homes that we have for the women who we're giving them that second chance to get their lives back on the right track and get started over again. And hey, I'm just going to kind of just drop some news in. We'll be sharing with you more about it later. But we've got another opportunity to partner with another ministry called Hope Center, which has a home like the Living in Victory home for the women. But this is a drug and alcohol rehab center for men. And we're talking, the administrative council and I are doing some conversing and talking about how we can bring that in and make that a part of the ministries of Spirit Life Church. So, I mean, I'm excited about what the future is. But here's the bigger picture. Forget talking about Spirit Life Church reaching out to people. Forget talking about us reaching out to our friends. Forget talking about Andy trying to rescue Forky. Let me tell you what the real picture is here. It's Jesus who keeps coming after us. It's Jesus who keeps loving us. It's Jesus who saw us in the lowest place of our life. And Jesus that was willing to leave the throne of heaven and come down to earth and become a man so that He could save us, so that He could rescue us. He said about Himself, that's my mission, that's my purpose, that's my goal. I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's the story that really matters, folks. It's His story. That's the story that we need to be talking about. When you're telling your story, make sure you talk about the fact that my story wouldn't be my story if it wasn't for His story, if it wasn't what He has done for me. You know, when you talk about stories, movies, plays, whatever, books, they're genres of stories that get written. You know, they're the mysteries, the horror stories, the romance, the action, the drama, the thriller, comedies. Let me tell you about the story of Jesus. The story of Jesus starts out being a beautiful love story. The story of Jesus is a beautiful love story. What are you talking about? I'm talking about, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's you and that's me and everybody that we know, whosoever would believe in Him should not perish, doesn't have to go back to the trash, but have everlasting life. Jesus, we talked about it. He said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. And in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10, we read, this is real love. You want to know what real love is? You want to know what a real love story is? This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the sacrifice to take away our sin. That is a real love story. You know, when you, yeah, go ahead and give the Lord a hand for loving on you like He does. But it's not just a love story. I mean, the story of Jesus, you say, well, I don't like old gushy love stories. I prefer the dramas, or I prefer the thriller, or I prefer the whatever. Let me tell you, those verses, the story of Jesus, it's filled with all of that as well. You like drama? How about the birth of Jesus? You talk about drama. I mean, here this angel shows up to this engaged couple saying, hey, you're going to have a son. They're going, whoa, we haven't done anything to have a son. Yeah, and you're not going to either. It's going to be the supernatural thing that's going to happen when the Holy Spirit comes on Mary, and she's going to give birth to the Son of God. You talk about drama. I mean, that's drama. They go into Bethlehem, and in the middle of the night, I mean, they get there. There's no place for them to stay. They end up staying in a stable somewhere with all of the animals, and in the middle of the night, she gives birth, and then people start showing up out of nowhere. I mean, well, they didn't even send out the invitations or nothing, and here come the shepherds, and later on, the wise men appear, and I mean, you talk about drama. The story of Jesus is a pretty dramatic story. How about mystery? You like mysteries? You like a good mystery story? Trying to figure out how that all happened? You know, again, just go back to Joseph and Mary. You're talking about mystery. How did that virgin birth take place? I mean, that's a pretty good mystery. Later on, the Bible describes the relationship that we have with Christ and talks about the mystery of the church. It's an action story. You know, I like a good old action movie. I mean, give me a Gunsmoke. Let the guys come riding in on horses. I mean, I guess you could tell that I would like that, right? Let them come riding up on horses, shooting guns and blazing and all that kind of stuff. I like a good action movie. You like action? I'm telling you, the story of Jesus is a great action story. I mean, you just think about some of the things that he did, the encounters that he had where he's casting out demons. Last week we talked about how that he cast the demons into a herd of pig and, you know, off into the ocean they went, you know, the lake. But action, all kinds of stuff where he's, you know, on a boat and there's wind and waves and it looks like they're going to drown. And Jesus stands up and says, peace, be still. It demonstrates his power. Jesus is the guy who wrapped together a bunch of cords and made a whip, went into the temple, begins to drive the money changers out of the temple saying, get out of here. You're just destroying the purpose for the house. This is my Father's house. It's supposed to be a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. I mean, here's Jesus single-handedly driving these guys. You talk about action. I mean, it's the story of Jesus is an action story. You say, but I like horror stories. Well, I don't. Just to be honest with you, I don't. But you think about the horror on the face of those disciples and Mary and the other women as they stand at the foot of the cross and they look up to see Jesus, the one that they put all their hope in, the one that they've believed was the Messiah that was going to save them. And now at the hand of the Roman soldiers, he's been beaten and bruised and whipped, crown of thorns pressed into his brow. There he hangs on a cross, taking his last breaths, and then he dies. Can you imagine the horror that they were experiencing as they're trying to figure out what's next? Where do we go from here? And are we next? Are the Romans coming after us next? But you know, every good story's got a twist in the plot at the end of the story, right? Every good story's got a good twist in the plot. I want to tell you, that's the twist. There was a good twist in the plot in the story of Jesus. Not only was he born in Bethlehem's manger, born of a virgin, becomes this 13-year-old that's standing there, and he's amazing the Pharisees and the scribes with his teachings and saying, I've got to be about my Father's business. He doesn't just grow into the man that at 30 years old will be baptized in the Jordan River, and a voice out of heaven says, this is my beloved son, hear him. He's not just the perfect, sinless Lamb of God who never did anything wrong in all of his life, never a bad word did he speak, never lost his temper in a way that was ungodly, never did anything wrong, was perfect in all of his ways. And then they took him and they hung him on a cross. He died and they placed him in a tomb, but it does not end there, because the twist of the story is on the third day. On the third day, he rose from the dead, came back to life again, not so only so that we could be forgiven of our sins by his death on the cross, but so that we could be assured of eternal life, because he who now lives in us. That is a good story. And not only that, But 50 days after that, he spent the next 50 days walking around, teaching about the kingdom of God. And then he ascends up into the clouds, up into the heaven. And the angels say, hey, this same Jesus that you've seen go is coming back again. And he's still coming back again for us, for you and for me, for his church. That is a good story. But why? Because of you. Because of you. Because you needed a Savior. You know, sometimes we that are in the church forget that. We've been in the church for so long, and it's almost like we think that we were always a Christian. We haven't always been that way. Our life hasn't always been a good story. Paul would write to the church, and he would just this long list of just really sinful junk, ways that people were acting. And then he says, and such were some of you, but you're not anymore. Now you're washed. Now you're sanctified. Now your life has been changed. What made the difference? The same thing that made a difference in their story is the same thing that makes a difference in our story. And it's the same thing that can make a difference in your story if it hasn't already. And that's when our story crosses his story. And there at the cross, there at the intersection where Jesus comes into our lives, we surrender everything to him. And we say, Jesus, I've made a mess of my life. I keep going back to these old ways, and I don't even know why I keep doing the same thing that I keep doing. I don't know why I keep going back to the trash can again. Jesus says, don't worry about it. Just surrender your life to me today. Quit trying to do it your way and do it my way. And when our story crosses his story, it changes everything. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your story today. We thank you that because of your story, we can know how the story ends. The story doesn't have to end with us going back into sin and shame and brokenness and despair. We don't have to go back to drugs or prostitution or alcohol or wrong relationships. We don't have to go back to any of that. We can go to the foot of the cross. And there when we meet you, you change everything. Father, I thank you for those of us whose story has been changed. Thank you for those of us who have that testimony. Yep, that's how I once was, but then I met Jesus, and now my life has been better. And I've got a future, and I've got a hope because of Christ. And Lord, if there are those that are here today or those that are watching online, our prayer is, would you interweave his story into your story and let him make the real difference in your life.
Yeah. So if you're here today with every eye still closed and every head bowed, if you're here today, and I just want to announce, this is where the intersection comes. This is where you've crossed paths to the story of Jesus, and you have an opportunity to submit your story to him, your life's story, that your life would be forever changed in submitting to him, in giving your life to him, changed for the better. Where there's healing and freedom, where beyond a shadow of a doubt, you would believe and you would know in your hearts of hearts that you are secured. And the statement in the back of my head that there is heaven, that there is a hell, and that you would be secured by giving your life to him. for heaven, to live an eternity with him. If that's you and you're like, I want that confidence today, just wave at me. I would love to pray with you. Thank you, Lord. And if that's you online, I would just invite everyone in this room. It's really simple. Let's just talk to Jesus for a moment. Let's acknowledge that he is alive, that he hears us. And let's say this prayer with those that may be praying it in this room and online. It's very simple. Just say, Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God and that you were sent to pay the penalty for my sin, that I might be free and that I might be transformed and healed. I ask you, take my life, write my name in your book, that when I meet you face to face, that I am counted yours and you mine. Help me, heal me, free me. May I know your love to the end of my days. In your name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that sincerely, welcome to the family. Let's just give a hand clap for those that... I'd love to invite our prayer team up here to join me up front. And if you're here and you need prayer and you need someone to connect with you in whatever situation you're in, I would invite you to just come up and have one of these lovely people pray for you here. There's something that Pastor Tommy said that I just feel to drive in for the end of today, that Jesus, he actually chose this for himself because he loved you and me. I think even as Christians, even as it's very familiar to us, right? No, he loves me. He loves you. Go with that knowledge. Go with that confidence today. We have hot dogs and hamburgers. Share that love with one another right at the end of this. Also, if this is your first time, we have Give Us 10. If you just give us 10 minutes of your time, we'd love to get to know you, add a name to the face or a face to the name, and talk with you for a little bit and exchange a little gift. Bless you guys. We thank you so much for joining us today. Bye.